So today's scripture comes from Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things.
Thank you. Thank you, Alex. Alex, would you do me one more favor before you sit down? Come on up here. That's okay. He's good. He didn't know he had to do this, but what I have here, Alex, is an envelope. Compliments of John Shellhaus. This is an envelope that says $10,000 on it. Okay, would you do me a favor? You didn't know you had to do this. Would you give this to Pastor Bob? Okay, just give that to Pastor Bob on your way down there. That's an envelope with $10,000 on it, Pastor Bob. Thank you, Alex. Bob, I'm going to use you as a sermon illustration. It is about that $10,000. Compliments of John Shellhaus, right? Compliments of John Shellhaus. So, Bob, here's my question to you in front of your congregation, right? We're offering you this envelope that says $10,000 on it, right? But you have to spend it today. What would you do first with that $10,000, Bob?
Log on to Amazon.
Log on to Amazon. Young people, that's not the answer we're looking for here. That's not the answer we're looking for. But if you were given $10,000, Bob, if any of us was given $10,000, what would be the first thing that we would do?
Thank God.
And then right after that, what would you do? Give it back to the Lord. But, and here's why. When you're thinking, what does $10,000? And Bob, nobody is wanting to know more than Bob is. Why am I being given this envelope with $10,000 on it? Because here's the deal. Researchers have said that we all have somewhere around 10,000 thoughts come through our mind a day. Can you imagine that? 10,000. In fact, I heard somebody say this past week when I was doing some research on it. They said, new science shows us that there can be as many as 70,000 thoughts go through our mind. Well, I can tell you, from my point of view, that's not true, 70,000. I was even a little astonished that it was as much as 10,000. But my point was this. Why would we, if we were given $10,000 to spend that day, why would we give more priority to the money than we would with the thoughts? Right? Why would we give more priority to the money than the thoughts? Because over the course of a year, that's even if you have 10,000, that's somewhere around 3.6 million thoughts a year, Bob. 3.6 million thoughts a year go through our mind. And from this scripture that Alex just read, and we'll be returning to that. Thank you, Alex, for reading that scripture. There's a lot of other scripture that goes through the Bible that talks to us about our thoughts. From Proverbs, we can see it says, "For as a man thinks within himself, so he is." And Mahatma Gandhi kind of paraphrased that a little bit and said, a man is but a product of his thoughts. What he thinks, he becomes. Another person that I found that had an interesting quote on thinking, and it's probably a person that's not quoted in church too much, was Oscar Wilde, who said, yeah, really, a man who does not think for himself does not think much at all. But I think probably my favorite quote that I came across outside of scripture about thinking that said, you ever stop to think and forget to start again? Of course, that's Winnie the Pooh. I love that one. Yeah, I love that one. How true that is for so much of us, right? The Reverend John Stott had said it this way, the battle of the Christian life is the battle for the Christian mind. Okay, battlefield brain, as Chuck Swindoll calls it. And to a large extent, and this is not just for the young people, but for all of us, as your mind goes, so goes the entirety of your life. Again, returning to the scripture. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So that's why I have thought, be appropriate to just say, mind your mind. Let me give you a little bit of background to Philippians. I think a lot of us here know it. But Paul wrote this letter to the church at Philippi. He was in his Roman prison when he wrote this, and he was thanking them for their dozen years of support for his ministry. Philippi was the first church that was established in Europe. Did you know that? It was the first church established in the European continent. And every chapter in Philippians is about joy. And sometimes we use the word joy and happiness interchangeably. And so I had to look up, what is the difference? Well, happiness is largely dependent upon circumstances, happenings, happiness, happenings. But joy is really the spiritual quality that Christians try to cultivate because the Lord wants us to, which is about finding happiness that only comes from Christ. So it's not a circumstance thing of happenings, but the joy that we seek goes above and beyond. Chapter 1 in Philippians, basically, if you summarize it down, it says, to live is Christ, to die is gain. That's our joy. Chapter 2 summary is basically look out for others other than yourself. So our joy comes in serving others. And chapter 3, our citizenship is in heaven. And chapter 4, and Sue, you and I were just speaking about this before the service today. Paul writes about those things that will steal our joy from us. What things take our joy from us or try to take that joy from us, such as worry. Isn't it incredible that Paul, even in prison, is able to find joy in the Lord? So, again, what Alex read, this verse gives us 8 characteristics of which we can choose. 8 characteristics that we can choose from. And it's actually not just one characteristic or the other. It's all 8 put together. And so from that, we can evaluate our own thoughts by asking ourselves these questions. So he starts off by saying, whatever is true. So true means genuine, reliable, faithful. And isn't it interesting that the very first thing he says in this is it true? Okay, whatever is true. Because truth is a divine standard. It's not my truth or her truth or his truth. And we hear that phrase used all over the place today. It is the truth that is the divine standard set down from our Lord. Okay, that's the divine lens that we see it through. Also interesting to note, and this is a lot for the young people here, truth for your generation is not largely considered. You hear a lot of people talk a lot more about feelings than truth, right? In fact, I had seen a bumper sticker the other day that said, my freedoms end where your feelings begin, all right? A little bit about whatever is true. The second thing, he says, whatever is honorable. Is it worthy of respect? Is it dignified? Is that thought noble? And so I say to you, friends, is your thought life honorable? Do you ponder things? Kids, do you ponder things of serious purpose? All right, and I know this sounds like an old man speaking to young people, and to a large extent it probably is. Even that's written to you. Do you ponder things that are of serious purpose? Because this counsel is from God to his people. He wants us to have our minds renewed. Number 3, are our thoughts right? Because in our Christian faith, we answer to an audience of one. We are accountable to each other for sure, but it's really all about our relationship with the Lord. And are our thoughts right in the eyes of God? Do they conform with his standards? Because that's in living in harmony with his character. In other words, can we have wrong thoughts and live right? From Jeremiah 17, we read this. The heart is more deceitful than all else. It's desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give to each man according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds. Criterion number 4, are our thoughts pure? And pure means undefiled, holy, clean. It's difficult. This encompasses the idea of a clean thought life, or as we used to say, is your mind in the gutter. Remember that phrase, is your mind in the gutter? Don't hear that much anymore. Because if you fill your mind, especially with different kinds of fantasies, sensual or otherwise, your body will find a way to fulfill those desires. A couple of years ago, I went through a training class here at church on purity for men, especially as it pertained to pornography industry. And what we learned in that training was, did you know that repeated exposure to those kinds of stimuli or thoughts actually creates new neural pathways in your mind? Let me say that again. Us being around those kind of pornographic images rewires our brains, similar to those that are done in drug addictions. Brain scans show that. So don't you think that the Apostle Paul had an idea that thoughts are pretty serious business, right? Thoughts are pretty serious business. Number five, are our thoughts lovely? Which means pleasing, attractive. I think we understand what lovely means. But really, lovely isn't just beautiful in an earthly sense. It's about the beauty of holiness. Look at the seductions of our world. Look at the many things that call us that are unlovely. Because we're just full of, in this world, full of what's vulgar, flippant, cheap, and shallow. But don't let your thoughts attach themselves to things that are that way. If you have your thoughts attached to those, don't dwell on those thoughts. Number six, is that thought admirable? In other words, is the thought that you just had worthy of contemplation? It suggests that we focus on what is positive, what is constructive, what is possible. Just because we can express a thought doesn't mean that we should be able to say what's on our minds, right? And I heard one pastor say it this way, you do not need to remove a sewer cap to know that underneath it stinks. Strong, strong language there, right? And I love how Paul finishes this verse by saying, finally, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. I love that. If there is anything of excellence, anything that's morally excellent, pleasing to God, that, again, those things that could be applauded by God. So what that means is, if you're watching a movie and it doesn't pass a test, or if you're reading a book or a magazine or on a website, don't let your minds graze there. Or also, if you're in a relationship that doesn't meet that standard of excellence, don't dwell there. But there's more to excellence, I think, than just what I've mentioned so far. In his book titled The Scandal of the Christian Mind, again, it's titled Scandal of the Christian Mind, the Christian author Mark Knoll, he asks why the largest single group of religious Americans, those of us who enjoy increasing wealth, status, political influence, he wants to know why we have contributed so little in recent years to rigorous intellectual scholarship in North America. He asks, why have evangelicals failed at sustaining a serious intellectual life and abandoned the universities, the arts, and other realms of high culture? Specifically, he says about the whole spectrum of modern learning, including economics, political science, literary criticism, imaginative writing, historical inquiry, philosophical studies, linguistics, the history of science, social theory, and the arts. Because for decades, and actually probably for centuries, I think you would say, Bob, right? This is one of the great, great things that the Christian church has brought into this world, is thinking on those levels. Have we individually and corporately exhibited excellence in our lives? Because taken all together, these are a command. It's not a suggestion. When he says, think on these things are the green lights that we can ponder, that can stay in our minds. All else that doesn't meet those standards are red lights. These are the guardrails for our minds. And yet, Paul, look how Paul does it. He expresses it in a present tense. This is part of, I think, the mystery, the majesty, the brilliance of Scripture is for 2,000 years, this has been speaking to Christians. It speaks to us today. It will speak to Christians for as long as there are Christians on this earth. And I think that's the miracle of God-breathed truths. They transform us no matter the time, no matter the epoch. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And that suggests a continuous cultivation. It's not just a one-time thing. It's a regular thing. So the philosopher Descartes said, "I think, therefore I am," right? You're familiar with that. And I think the Apostle Paul pushes it a step farther and says, "I think, therefore I do." I think, therefore I do. And by the way, the irony of hypocrisy of this message today isn't lost on me when we're saying, "Hey, everybody, come to the chili dinner afterwards that you've provided all the food for and pay for it yourselves," right? But we don't want you to think about the hypocrisy of coming and partake in that, but we still want you to come and partake in that. Pastor Bob was laughing about that with me before the service, and I said, "Yeah, we're just hoping everybody comes because a couple weeks ago when we were talking about the Life Conference in our meeting, over a dozen hands went up and said, we'd like to go to the youth conference in Orlando next July. Over a dozen people. It's not cheap to do. So we're really reliant upon these and other fundraisers that we're going to have. So, but just don't think the fact that you've given all the food for today, which you have, and all the drinks and all that, and you're still going to pay for it. Don't think about that too much. But how do we go from an analysis of this wonderful book or wonderful verse from Philippians, how do we go to that to really, how do we change our minds, or how do we change the patterns of our thinking? And I would like to credit a website called Keep Believing Ministries for this. And I took this part from what they wrote. Keep Believing Ministries, that is. Number one, here's how to change our minds, or to try to get our thoughts to be in sync with where the Lord wants them. Analyze our input. We used to say garbage in, garbage out. So let's think about what we are involved with. In other words, we become what our minds consume. I said, what movies do you watch? What music do you listen to? What websites do you visit? What magazines? All that stuff. And if you think there's not a battle for your mind today, all right, it's been said that an average American watches 4 hours a day of television across the span of 65 years of living. That's 9 years you've been in front of the television. And that's not even considering how long we're on the internet a day. That's just television. Okay? So by the time you're 65, you will have been glued to the television for 9 years. And I love this quote very, very much. This relates to this. And this was said by somebody who made a very, very good career on television. And he said this, "Sometime in your day today, try to turn off all the noises you can around you and give yourself some quiet time. In the silence, let yourself think about something or nothing, if possible." Most of us, and he goes on to write, most of us have so few moments like that in our lives. There's noise everywhere. There are some places we can't even escape it. Television and radio are probably the worst culprits. They are very seductive. I wonder what some people are afraid might happen in the silence. Some of us must have forgotten how nourishing silence can be. Of course, that came from Mr. Rogers. So analyze your input, number one. Number two, just change what your mind consumes. If you really want to break a mind habit, ask a friend to be accountable. I know that's a word that just simply isn't used today too much, but there are very few things that work as well as being accountable to somebody else. And in the purity group that I was in here, That was the one thing actually that we were doing. Extremely effective. I'm dealing with this in my life. I need help. You're dealing with this. You be accountable to other people. The best organizations have the accountability built into them. So if you want to change that mind habit, ask somebody or a group to be accountable with you. Number three, check the influence of your friends. 1 Corinthians 15, also from the pen of Apostle Paul. In 1 Corinthians 15, he reminds us that bad company corrupts good character. Okay? So check the influence of your friends. Point number four, and I think if there's nothing else to glean from anything I've said today, it's this. Begin to memorize Scripture. Memorize it faithfully. And I said, the very first thing I knew when I started to work with this youth group a year and a half ago was, these kids know so much Scripture, largely through Awana, through the families that they're coming to. They value the importance of having Scripture, because as you begin to hide God's Word in your heart, it will slowly and surely change your mind. So memorize Scripture. And number five, I love this. You are not what you think you are, but what you think you are. Let me say that again. You're not what you think you are, but what you think you are. Your mind is probably the best predictor of your future. And again, that's not just for the youth. This goes through all ages. Am I right about that? So we have that incredible sense that we have to keep cultivating our mind. Luke, can you come up here with me? I'm going to read something first that's sort of an analysis of this. Then Luke is going to give his take on it. If your mind's saying you think you can't, you probably won't. If you think angry thoughts, angry words are sure to follow. If you dwell on your problems, those problems will soon overwhelm you. If you feel like a victim, soon you will become one. If you give way to worry, don't be surprised when you get ulcers. If you think low thoughts, low living will soon follow. If you expect defeat, you'll probably lose. If you dwell on rejection, you will set yourself up for even more rejection. If you focus on how others misunderstand you, you will soon become angry and bitter. But the flip side is also true, Luke.
If you focus on the truth, you will speak the truth. If you look on noble things, nobility will mark your life. If you seek out lovely things, your life will be lovely to others. If you dwell on that which is right, that which is wrong will have no attraction to you. If you think on pure things, you will become pure. If you look for virtue, you will find it. If you search for higher things, you will elevate your own life.
Thank you, Luke. So here's what we've got. Basically, good thoughts bear good fruit. Bad thoughts bear bad fruit. And you are the gardeners. Let's mind our mind.